Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God says, in the B part of the verse, "Let the weak say, I am strong." This is a very strange proclamation. Let the weak say, I am strong. There's this thing about the way God operates, about the kingdoms, about who we are in the kingdom, about who we are as people, that is really contrary to sight. For example, if I'm rich, I may actually be very poor. On the other hand, if I am poor, it is possible that I'm very rich. And I'm not trying to suggest materially speaking, but there's this opposites that exists in the kingdom of God as it relates to us. And so the Word of God says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Now, the natural tendency for us, because this is the way that we've been taught in our culture, this is the way that the world teaches us, is to say, I am strong or I am weak. And if I am strong, it's because I'm capable of something. And if I am weak, I am incapable of something. But that's not so as we relate to the kingdom of God. As we relate to the kingdom of God, it works completely the opposite. As a believer, I learn how to not live in my weakness, because I accept that I am weak. Now, the world would say to us, no, you don't live in your weakness, you live in your strength. But that's not how it works with us. The time when I learn how to not live in weakness is when I am accepting of the fact that I am weak. The time when I will not be capable of living in strength is the time when I say to myself, I am strong. Here the Word of God says, let the weak say, I am strong. You see, there's this tendency that we have to try to rely on our strengths and to try to stay away from our weaknesses. Now, if that includes something like my sin nature, then that can be wisdom. For example, somebody before they were saved who was an alcoholic should not go be walking past bars. Or someone who has a weakness toward women should not be hanging out with women, except maybe in a group or some kind of a situation where there's an element of accountability. The fact is, though, that I am not strong, I am weak. As a human being, I cannot be strong, I can only be weak. And this is a good place for me to be. The mistake that sometimes Christians make is they try to rely on their strength instead of living in the acknowledgement and acceptance of the fact that they are weak. You see, to say to myself that I am strong is really a profound denial. Because really, if I say I am strong, then I am strong compared to what? Am I strong compared to you? I don't know. Am I strong? Let's say I'm strong compared to a muscle man. Am I strong that way? Is this what it means to be strong? Am I strong compared to what? Am I strong compared to the chair or the tree? What am I strong compared to? Because when I make these evaluations of myself, I am invariably comparing myself to some external standard. So the question becomes, what standard am I comparing myself to? Now, it's possible that I'm saying to myself, I'm stronger than this person, but weaker than that person. That's not wisdom. It's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. So if I say I am strong, what am I strong compared to? See, if I say I am weak, I don't have to make this comparison. Because all of a sudden I say I have no qualification at all. I have no ability at all. So there is no comparison to be made. I yield the fact that I have no ability, and I yield the fact that I have nothing in me. And so I do not have to live in this element of comparison. If I say I am strong, then I have to maintain something. I have to maintain at least the appearance to others, if not to myself, this appearance of strength, of ability, this appearance of having it together. Yet that is simply an appearance. It is not the reality for anyone that we have it together. You see, the weak can say they are strong, but the strong cannot say they are strong. Only the weak can say they are strong. If I say I am strong, I'm actually living in my weakness rather than accepting of the weakness. Now again, when I say weakness, I'm not talking about things like lust patterns or sin nature or anything like that. I'm talking about my natural abilities, my natural intellect. There are a lot of people who are very intellectually gifted, and yet they are very weak in their intellect because they don't have the mind of God. They can't think very well because they don't have the mind of God. There's a lot of scientists like this, for example, who accept things like evolution despite the fact that there's no actual evidence beyond that which is theoretical. Beyond that which establishes evolution as a premise, and then you must accept that premise in order to produce the data to support your premise. You see, this is living in weakness with the notion that you are strong. One of the things about evolution to those people is, how come in the Cambrian explosion everything appears? Why is that? Why is it that we know that there was a worldwide extinction, but not of the nature that a meteorite would have produced as it crashed into one side of the planet? It would not have produced an even extinction, as the evolutionists say that it does. You see, the evolutionists say that it does. Why do they say that it does? Because we have in the fossil record the fact that there was a worldwide extinction. That's what the Cambrian explosion is. Remember, fossils are created when organisms die, not when organisms are born. So, we have this thing, yet very smart and intellectual people, people who have much learning, will accept things that are foolish in the name of their intellect. One of the reasons why the intellectual doesn't often like Christianity is because they say it's too simple. It's not examinable. It's not something we can handle. Yes, because it's bigger than you are. You see, the simplicity of the gospel is really its elegance. I find it interesting that Albert Einstein said the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. Yet at the same time, our scientists are saying, no, it has to be very complex and difficult. It has to have a very intricate detail and many twists to it in order for it to be scientific. But that goes against what at least one brilliant person said. The simplest explanation is very simple. That which was alive made something that is alive. That which has the capability of producing things in an orderly fashion produced things in an orderly fashion. But that's too simple. You see, these are various attempts for man to live in his own strength. And yet God says this is not possible. God says only the weak can say, I am strong. This is a difficult thing for people. This is a difficult thing for Christians in various areas of their lives. People who feel like they should be able to handle things, like they should have answers, like they should what have you. sometimes parents of who are Christians and their children get, you know, reach their teenage years, and perhaps they become very rebellious and turn away from God, and great guilt can exist in these people's lives, and perhaps condemnation, because I should have been able to, I should have known better, I should. And yet this is simply another way of expressing, I am strong, I'm strong enough, and it's perplexing to me because I am strong enough. That the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say that the strong are strong. It says that the weak are strong. It seems like a significant contradiction, but it's not. The Word of God says in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. Very often we try to do things apart from God, but God says, without me you can do nothing. Now that word nothing means no thing. So without the Savior, there is nothing possible that I can achieve. Now I can tie my shoes, but I don't really consider that a particularly great accomplishment. I can brush my teeth, I'm happy to have them. Like, not everybody can say they have teeth, I suppose. I can comb my hair, and I know there's many men who cannot say that. But you know what? Without Him, I can really do nothing. I can't do anything without the Savior. How do I know what is right and wrong for my life without my Savior? Well, I learn how to think, I become educated, I weigh the pros and the cons. Yes, but do you know what will come tomorrow? Well, I can reasonably predict, given the circumstances that are. Yes, but do you know what will come tomorrow? Well, I can have a reasonable estimation. Yes, but do you know what will come tomorrow? You see, I've been listening a little bit to the analysts on the news talking about the SEALs and stuff, right? Right now, the Navy SEALs are in the news. And one thing always strikes me as interesting, I've heard this a few times now, that the plan of the mission is scrapped as soon as the mission starts. In other words, they can prepare all they like, but as soon as they hit the ground, things are different in some way than what they have prepared for. And so their preparation is not there so much to prepare them for the mission. Their preparation is there to make them adaptable to the mission. And this is like so with us. What I receive is not so that I can predict what happens. What I receive is there so that I know how to respond correctly. But people try to live in these predictions. They plan out their entire lives apart from God as though they can predict tomorrow. Now, I worked in the emergency room for 9 years, and I can tell you, I've seen a number of people who thought they had tomorrow, which they did not possess. I remember a 36-year-old man came in. He had a heart attack, and he died of this heart attack. He thought he had a tomorrow that he did not possess. You see, the fact is, as a believer or as an unbeliever, it is impossible, it is absolutely impossible for anyone to say what will be tomorrow. I can make all the predictions and plans that I like, but only by the grace of God will any of those things come to pass. But if God says no, then no's the answer. And I can scream and shout, I can react, I can do anything I want. I can try to improve myself to accommodate for that no. But the fact is that God will have His way. You see, I have no strength. In fact, what I am doing when I say that I am strong is I'm comparing myself to God. Because God is the one to whom all power has been given and all authority. God is the one who possesses strength. So I cannot possess any strength because I am not God. But God is the one who possesses strength. When I say I'm going to live in my own strength in a situation, when I say that I'm going to live in my ability No matter what type of ability I'm referring to, in any circumstance whatsoever, what I'm doing is I'm saying, I have something that only God possesses. I'm really deifying myself. This is why not many noble and wise are called, are chosen. Why? Because there is this element of deifying the self, and God will not choose someone who deifies the self. Now, for the believer, this is a little bit different in application. For the believer, that person has to be brought to the place of weakness. We don't really like this as believers. As believers, we like to be in a place of strength. We like to feel like we're standing on our own two feet, making our own choices and initiating our own lives. We like to feel in control. But the fact is, it's only an illusion. We have no control. You know, what happens to me when I say, I'm going to do this because this is what I want, or this is what will be because this is what I want. When I do this, I live in an illusion that says to me, you have control. That says you have some sort of influence. I don't have influence. Nobody who has died, of the people that I saw in the ER, really wanted to do so. Nobody who gets cancer wants cancer. Nobody who has a heart attack wants a heart attack. Nobody who breaks a bone wants a broken bone. And yet, this is our own bodies. There are people who work out very hard, who eat right, and those are good things, and have a healthy lifestyle, and they get a heart attack or cancer anyway. Now, I'm not saying go increase your chance of heart attack or cancer because the one who doesn't increase their chance gets that. But you understand what I'm saying. They did not have control over their very own body. Let me ask you something. How much control do you have over your heartbeat? Yet it beats anyway. And yes, you might be able to, through some perhaps meditative or deep breathing or something like that, control the heart rate. But how much control do you have over the heartbeat? How much control do you have over your breathing? Yes, you can override with your volition certain elements of your breathing, but see what happens if you simply hold your breath. You hold it long enough, you're going to pass out and start breathing. You see, that involuntary part that you have no control over, you can't really overcome it. I don't have control. To think that I do is an illusion. I can't control my life, and I certainly can't control anybody else's. I can't control my circumstances. I can't control my own heartbeat. And yet people think that they have strength sometimes. The strongest place a believer can be is to accept the fact that they are weak. Now, I'm not saying we live in our weaknesses, that we accept that we are weak. See, only when I accept the fact that I am weak will I be able to overcome my weaknesses. I'm not talking about, like the psychiatrists say, face your problem or admit it to yourself. And I'm not even saying that that stuff is entirely illegitimate. There are components of that that are legitimate. What I am saying is that I have no ability, whether I want to believe so or not. I find it interesting that somebody as intelligent in the business world as Donald Trump, and I don't think anybody could argue that the fact that the man is a skilled businessman, that somebody is intelligent in the business world as Donald Trump, yet at the same time, some of his business ventures end up in bankruptcy. Some of his business ventures are not successful, while some of them are. And despite his notoriety and his money, he is still not capable even though he has perhaps more natural ability in that world than most of us, he is still not all that capable. And this is not derogatory toward him. He is a human being, and we human beings, no matter how intelligent or smart, no matter how anything we are, how strong we think we are, we're not that strong. We don't really have control. We rely on other people. We rely on circumstances. We rely on things outside of ourselves. And we have no option but to put faith in someone or something at some time. You see, the evolutionists put faith in their own intellect, into the things that they think they can see, into their interpretation of data based on a biased premise. And yet at the same time, it is all by faith. If you're an evolutionist and listening to me, to put aside, for the sake of the conversation, if you dare, if you have the guts to leave your little safe spot, put aside your premise for a moment and answer this. What if you're wrong? What if God really did create the universe? What if you made a mistake? What will you do then? What if there really is a heaven? And what if there really is a hell? What will you do then? Are you able to lift 1,000 pounds? How do you know that it won't fall on you? Do you see what I'm saying? We are not that strong. Intellectually, physically, in any way whatsoever, we are not that strong. There is only one who is strong. That's the one who is weak. What can I do apart from God? Maybe I can tie my shoes, but you can count that an accomplishment if you like. But I think that there's more to life. And what happens, like when they introduce Velcro, then my claim to fame is gone. The greatest illusion, or among them, that a person can live in is the illusion of strength. Is the illusion that they are capable of doing something apart from God. Is the illusion that they can think through apart from God. Because the Savior said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, the weak say, I am strong. But nobody else can make that statement. Now, if a person thinks they are strong, they're going to live in their weakness. But if a person accepts the fact that they are weak, then they will live in God's strength. It's like that with everything. Let's say that I have a weakness in some area. Let's say gambling. I have a weakness toward gambling. If I accept the fact that I have a weakness for gambling, I'm not saying that it's okay for me then to go to the horse track or to the casino. What I am saying is that I accept that I am weak in this area of gambling, and then I will be able to have God as my strength in this area. Then I'll come to the place in the body, perhaps, where I receive protection or where I receive covering. Only the weak can say, I am strong. Because there is no such thing as a strong man. There is no such thing as someone who has the ability to think things through apart from the mind of God. There is nobody who can plan their lives and actually carry out their plan. There is nobody who can see into the heart of another person And there's nobody can even see into their own heart. You see, only the weak can be strong. Now the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, Paul said he takes pleasures in his infirmities, and in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. This is a crazy person, is it not? Not really. He takes pleasure in them for a reason. He takes pleasure in them because he realizes he has no strength in them. And then he goes on to say, when I am weak, then am I strong. The scariest thing to me on behalf of another person is when they live or try to live in their own ability, in their own strength. It's someone who tries to live in their own intellect. That person is set up for failure. Why? Because they have none of those things. They don't have intellect, and I don't care how intellectual they think they may be. They don't have strength, and I don't care how strong they think they may be. They don't have ability, and I don't care how much ability they think they may have. They have none. Why? Because apart from Christ, they can do nothing. To think to myself that somehow I am strong enough to figure out my life, that somehow I am strong enough to carry things out in my life, that somehow I am strong enough to plan out my life apart from God leading and giving a call. To think that I have the ability to do those things is nothing more than illusion. It's a trick, it's a vapor. But it isn't real. There is no substance to these things. And if I think those things, God will ensure that I recognize the lack of substance that I have. If I think that I am strong, God will ensure that I recognize my own weakness. And He will bring me face to face with my own weakness. If I think I have ability, God will make sure that He brings me face to face with my inability. If I think that I have intellect, God will make sure to bring me face to face with my own foolishness. Why? Because apart from Him, I can do nothing. But only when I am weak am I strong. You see, in fact, God wants me to have strength. But God knows where strength comes from. And He knows that strength does not come from one whose frame is just dust. God knows that my strength does not come from someone who cannot see what tomorrow holds. How many people know something is very simple and very evident, as much as the inevitability of the fact that they will die? When? Do you know when? You have no intellect. You know that it will happen, but you can't even say when. You have no intellect. You have no strength. Be careful in your lives how you see another person. Have you ever seen someone who mock? They think they're strong, when in fact they're weaker than the one they are mocking. Who was the strong one? Who was the powerful one? The Pharisee or the publican? Anytime I puff myself up against someone, I actually bring myself below their ability with God, below their place with God. Satan did that when he was Lucifer. He elevated himself, and what was the result? He lost the place that he had held. and he was made lower than mankind. He was made a scourge. You see, this can happen to any of us, that we think that we are somehow strong or smart or clever, when in fact we have none of those things. For me to think that I have some strength in that sense is really just pride. The danger of pride is that it comes before a fall. I have to be careful about that. Be careful into those little areas where pride creeps in. Why? Those are the areas where the illusion exists. Those are the areas where you have no substance. So be careful of those little areas. They're very tale-telling. They reveal a great deal. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Word of God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, God says, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you know why the weak say that I am strong? Because only then will they live in the strength of God. What is the problem with the strength of man, that God's strength is only made perfect in our weakness? The problem with the strength of man is when I accept the illusion of strength, I get in God's way in my own life. Now, God could plow over me if He wanted, but He's not going to do that because He loves me and He cares about me. How is God's strength perfected? When it is permitted. The only time that I permit God's strength is when I don't feel, when I don't have this notion that I have any of my own. People attempt to live in their own strength very frequently. People say to themselves, "I can do this on my own." You know one time when someone lives in their own strength? When they don't pray. When they don't pray for the way that they should take. When they don't acknowledge God in all their ways. They are trying to live in their own strength. Another time when people live in their own strength is when people think that they have something that is more valuable to them than God's kingdom. When they seek first something else, or seek along with the kingdom, they look for something. They have their own strength they are relying on. When people don't delight themselves in the Lord, they are trying to live in their own strength, but they have no strength. You see, that's a dangerous trap to enter into. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. How many people have preferences that are according to their natural mind? They're living in illusions. Only the weak can say, "I am strong." Because only when I am weak, God's strength is perfected in me. Sometimes you find people who have overwhelming weaknesses, especially early on in life, or before they have received sound doctrine, sound teaching, the life of God and a life of God ministry. And they say to themselves, "I have these weaknesses," and they are sometimes frustrated by their weaknesses. Do you know what will happen to that person if they grow properly with Christ? Those weaknesses become their greatest strength. Because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so maybe I am fearful or trepidatious, and yet look at the strength that God can produce. Pastor Shibeli, he just told that story the other day, right? Pastor Stephen said to him, "You should be a preacher." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "You have no discernment." But he's a preacher, and quite a preacher. Pastor Schaller didn't think he could preach. He really didn't. He didn't think he was cut out for it. And what a preacher he is. See, these were people who didn't try to live in their strength. They simply responded to God in a call. He didn't try to figure out how he was going to preach. He was just going to do what God said for him to do. And so he preaches. God is the one who makes a preacher. God is the one who makes a person strong. No, nobody else can do that. Folks, don't live in the illusion of your own strength. Don't live in the illusion of your intellect. Don't live in the illusion of your reason. And don't live in the illusion of your ability. Because I don't care how smart you get, you don't have any of those things. Now, I've always found, and this has always been kind of like a strange paradox in some ways to me, although I kind of understand why it is. But I've always found, I have 6 college degrees. With every degree I get, I know less than I did before. When I graduated high school, I was the smartest person on the planet. But with every degree I get, I realize I know very little, and I know less each time. Now that seems kind of perplexing. I just spent a lot of money getting those degrees and that education. But yet I know less than I did when I started. Be careful for the person who thinks they're very intelligent or intellectual. It's a very good starting place for a person to become foolish. I'm not intelligent and I'm not intellectual. And whatever ability I might have to think, I have it simply because God has given me a thought. My capacity in the cranium never has been all that. And you know what? For those of you who might be chuckling in your minds, either is yours. Why? Because your mind is made of the same dust as my mind, and nothing more. Don't live in your illusions. You know what you live in? You live in the heart of God. Have you seen people who are unkind? It is because they think they are strong. And in their strength, they lose the fruit of the Spirit. In their strength, they lose the heart of God. In their strength, they lose the love of God. And so their strength was an illusion that deceived them. You are not strong. You are weak. And so am I. And if you think you are anything other than that, you're deceived. And you have no strength whatsoever. Not your own, and not God's. But if you come to terms with the fact that you are simply weak, that you are simply made of nothing but dust, then God's strength is made perfect in you. And this is where our strength comes from. Now the Word of God tells us certain areas for strength, if we want to have strength. In Nehemiah 8:10, the Word of God says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So how do I have the joy of the Lord? Where does the joy of the Lord come from? Well, in Galatians 5:22, joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. The Word of God says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on. Joy is the first expression of the love of God in the heart of a person. If I possess the love of God, it produces great joy in me. And so the fruit of the Spirit is where joy comes from. Where does the fruit of the Spirit come from? The fruit of the Spirit comes when the Holy Spirit is permitted in my life through the cross to fellowship with my human spirit and impart His life through the Word of God, through meditation and prayer, through praise and worship. And He imparts His life to me, and that produces the fruit of the Spirit, and the possession of the fruit of the Spirit produces joy in me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I have the fruit of the Spirit, I have strength. It's not my own strength I have, it's the strength of God, His strength being perfected in me. But it is strength, greater strength than any man could possibly have. In Hebrews 11:11, the Word of God tells us that faith produced strength in Sarah. And even when she was facing her old age, where she could not conceive, by faith, it says, she conceived and had a son. And that's where she got the strength to do so. And so if I want to have God's strength, I respond to God in faith. I respond to His promises in faith. I respond to His heart in faith. I respond to His definition, to His word in faith. And it produces strength in me. It gives me something to stand on. It gives me something to hold on to. It's a firm foundation. It's a solid resting place. The person who lives in faith is the person who lives in the strength that God provides. Because the strength that God provides does not come from me. The strength that God provides comes from my response to His promises. How is a person confident? Because they have confidence in God and His heart and His ability and His promises towards them. Now, if I had confidence in simply God and His ability, but I had no confidence in His promises, then I would have no confidence at all in my life. Why? Because what does it matter to me if God is strong and able, if God is not willing toward me, if God doesn't offer me something, if God doesn't say, "I'm going to do this for you," then what good is it to me if He has the ability? But He has the ability, and He gives the promise, and He has the heart to fulfill that which He has promised. And so a person is strong because they have faith. They believe God. They believe what He said. They believe who He is, His heart and His character. They believe that He is loving and merciful. They believe that He is patient and that He is kind. They believe in His goodness and His gentleness. They believe in His faithfulness, that He will come through for them, that He will never leave them nor forsake them, and even if they fail, that His everlasting arms are beneath them. This is a person who has strength, because they have got strength they have gained from God. The Word of God says in Isaiah 30:15, "In quietness and in confidence is your strength." My quietness and confidence comes only to the extent that I embrace the promises of God, that I rely on the character of God, that I trust who He is and what He has said. And to the extent that I do that, the extent that I have that, that is the extent that I will have that strength of quietness and confidence. You ever see a person who's not quiet in their heart? They're very scattered. They're very here and there. They're very hot and cold and on and off, and one day this way and the next day that. They are unstable because they are not quiet in their heart. They're not quiet in their heart because they're not confident toward God. They think that somehow they have to produce something, do something, figure something out, achieve something, plan something, carry it out. And yet at the same time, that very notion is their greatest weakness. In quietness and in confidence is my strength, because I believe what God has said. And I believe what God has said because I believe all that God is. I have faith. And so I am confident. I'm confident in my Savior. I'm confident in His heart toward me. The Word of God says that there is a strength even against the accuser of the brethren, even against the devil there is a strength. In Revelation 12:10, the Word of God says, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." Now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. What is my salvation and my strength? Well, verse 11 tells me that. "For they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the death." The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. That is my salvation and my strength. The blood of the Lamb is where I stand firm and in confidence. The blood of the Lamb is where I have righteousness that I don't possess, but it's mine nevertheless. The blood of the Lamb is the place where I have an assurance. The blood of the Lamb is where I can come to God in prayer with great expectation. That is where I have great strength, is in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb is the ultimate manifestation of the finished work of Christ. The blood of the Lamb is the very thing that not just takes me my sins away. The cross took my sins away, but the blood of the Lamb cleanses me from the effect of those sins. The blood of the Lamb is why a man has a good conscience. The blood of the Lamb is why we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask in time of need. You see, if it not for the blood of the Lamb, if I live with the guilt, I will always live with the shame. I will always look down rather than look up. I will always be in a place where I will not feel confident in coming to the throne, because there will always be an area of my life where I see my own shortcomings. The blood of the Lamb sets me free from these things. And the blood of the Lamb is my strength and my salvation. The word of my testimony. The word of the testimony is the kingdom of God revealed upon the earth. The authority of Christ on the earth. That which God has given to His body, the lifeblood of His body, comes through His Word. What is it that produces life in me but the Word of God? The weakest person is the one who preserves his own life. You want to see someone who's trying to live in self-preservation? I'll show you someone who's profoundly weak. I'll show you someone who will not stand in a trial. I'll show you someone, as soon as the storm comes, they'll fold like a leaf. Why? Because in themselves, they can do nothing. But the person who has the power of the Savior That is the person who loves not his own life unto the end. So long as there is a cross in my life, the power of the Savior is functioning in my life. But as soon as self comes on the throne, all the weakness that self is comes right along with it. The weakness of dust, pretending to be strong, is nothing but folly and an illusion. But when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you understand that? When I am weak, then I am strong. Don't ever tell yourself you're strong or smart or academically capable or intellectually superior in some way. You're not. I don't care if your IQ is 200. Your brain is still made of dust. I don't care if you can do whatever you can do. You're still nothing more than dust. And you still don't know when the inevitable will come. You see, there is no ability that a person has in themselves. Not even the smallest ability. And though you may be able to tie your shoes, you haven't accomplished much. You see, the weak are the only ones that can say they are strong. Why? Because then I'll be content to live in the vine. A person who thinks they're strong will not be content to live in the vine. But a person who knows his own weakness, they won't be content unless they're living in the vine. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Do you believe that that is the word of God? Do you believe as you are planning out your lives, or attempting to? By the way, that too is an illusion. Because your plan will change tomorrow. It's like those soldiers said, you can train all you like, but as soon as the mission begins, all your planning is out the window. All your planning for your lives means nothing. But the preparation that you have in the heart of God, in the Word of God, in responding to God and building faith capacity in yourself for a faith response, that means something. That is the only thing that means something. The Word of God says that a man has his plans, but God's way prevails. It's better for me to not try to say I'm strong when in fact I am not. Why? Have you ever seen a chair that looked strong but wasn't? Maybe it had a bad leg and you sat down in it. Did you go tumbling? Or if you were quick, maybe got up just before you did go tumbling. That is my strength. I'm like that chair that has a bad leg. And if I try to rely on it and rest in that chair's ability, I'll come crashing down. Because I have no strength of my own. But that's a good thing. Because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. When I am weak, I get out of God's way. That's when I let Him take me by the hand. Have you seen a toddler who will let their parent take them by the hand? It's pretty effective. Have you seen a teenager who will let their parent take them by the hand? Amazing how many mistakes those teenagers make. More than the toddlers. Why? Because the toddler is not relying on their own strength. And so they don't make their own mistakes. When you're weak, you're strong. Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. But in Him, you can do absolutely anything. Amen.